studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, yesterday on Abounding Grace, we took up the subject of Hebrews chapter 12 and Christian discipline. And there in Hebrews chapter 12, we read a very, very strong statement. My son, do not despise the chastening or the discipline of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. God chastens those whom he loves, is the message of Hebrews chapter 12. And the author there builds to this truth. And in verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, launching into and moving toward this great point, he says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so throughout this chapter, we're given really a bunch of athletic metaphors. And if you are sports-minded and somewhat athletic, you will appreciate what he does here. He likens our life to a great race. But in this race, as runners, we have a very serious threat, our own sin. It is a monster that none of us takes that seriously because we cover it so well. Remember yesterday, we looked at the fact that we love to cover our lives. We're good at it. Adam and Eve did that in the beginning. They sewed fig leaves together to cover their lives and hide from the Lord. But it's there, and it's constantly, this reality of sin is there, and it's constantly wearying us to stay on the course, to say, what is this all worth? Why should I finish the race? It is painful. Sanctification is a hard process. And so knowing that many are deceived as to what Christianity is, the reality is that some drop off. They take a seat in the stands. In this great life race, others just sort of coast, never really giving any effort, who really don't want to give any effort towards anything that would cost them sacrifice. And so many are deceived as to what true Christianity is, the very superficial form of Christianity that we see today that has, Paul said, a form of godliness but denies its power. And back in chapter 10, that kind of runner was described, wasn't he? Verse 39, but we are not of those who shrink back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So there are those runners that shrink back who are not finishing the race, but then there are those who truly believe to the saving of the soul. And those are the runners that are really in the race. And as that runner presses on, putting to death inward lusts and sin, the race is very painful. It's very difficult. And there is serious disheartening along the way. And so in verse 3, he gives some of the most encouraging words to those Christians who are really struggling and really facing the weight of living in the interim between the heavenly world, the celestial world of glory that's coming for every Christian, and those still, though, caught in running a very tiresome race of life as we fight against terribly our own sin. Notice what he does in chapter 12. If you have your Bibles open, it's very important you see this. First, he says, compare your experience with the trial of Jesus. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Look upon your Savior, he says. If you're a Christian, you will know exactly what he's calling you to do. He had a race unlike anyone else. He had his entire life to live in perfection. And all he faced was open hostility. All he faced was a life of being hated. And he faced the rejection of his own. He was spit upon. He was mocked. And then look at the fact that this one, who had no sin, carried the very burden of our sins as Christians upon him, upon his back, knowing the whole time that in order to actually pay for sins, he would have to face in body and in soul the wrath of God. Look at him. He did not despair. He did not become weary to the point of giving up. His discouragement facing our sins did not cause him to say, "What is this worth?" But it made him all the more determined to finish the will of the Father for his life. And the writer says, the moment you're truly feeling the burden of these things, remember what your Savior had to endure, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. This word for discouraged here literally means to lose heart. And connected with weary, they would have known exactly what he meant. The ancient writers would use this word to describe the athlete who, once he finished the race, the finish line, he would utterly collapse from exhaustion. And the author here is very concerned. Due to their sufferings, due to their entanglements in sin, and the terrible things that often result, he knows that some are tempted to give up altogether. Some are tempted to take their eyes off of Jesus Christ, who is the only source of their strength. And so knowing these things, that they often occur, he is concerned that they will become weary and lose heart, collapsing, if you will, before the finish line. Now, if you're a runner, you know exactly what he's talking about. The fact is that running is intensely, it is an intense and very hard, enduring sport. You have to run. You're not relying upon other athletes alongside of you. You are, in a sense, running this race, your own race. And he calls you to endurance. He says, do not lose heart. If you are a Christian struggling with these things and struggling with your sin, which all Christians do, first and foremost, he says, you need to see that Jesus came here and went through all of this for you. Your salvation is not in question. He says, run with endurance, looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. You can lean on him. Jesus has run this race for you in terms of what is needed for you to be right with God. But now, you have a life race of sanctification before you that is fierce. But you're not alone. Do not lose heart, he is saying. The minute you do, look to him who has run for you. And we need to remember that as hard as things often can be, he never leaves nor forsakes his own. God is faithful all the way through, every step of the way, through the roughest periods of life. And he emphasizes this. He emphasizes God's great goodness to his people. As he says in verse 4, you've not resisted to bloodshed striving against sin. You've not resisted to this. You haven't got to that extent. This is another metaphor, of course. The word for bloodshed here is interesting. It has been said that this was a common word drawn from the Colosseum games. And in the games, the straight-arm boxing match of the pentathlon would produce the most blood. You haven't resorted to that kind of treatment. You don't come out with a bloody face. Now, that's an important allusion, but the main thing he does have in mind here is Jesus' bloody crucifixion. That comes in view in very strong terms here. And he's saying, you haven't come to the point of shedding your blood in striving against your own sin. You're not being beaten for it. You don't have to walk away with a bloody face fighting against it. Most of all, you'll never have to go to the cross to deal with your sin. You'll never have to face the wrath of God for it as a Christian. Jesus already has. Now, I guess I should pause and say, if you're not a Christian, that is not true of you. One day, when you stand before him, you will suffer. You will suffer an eternity of wrath being poured out upon you, dealing with and paying for the sins you've committed against the Father. But for the Christian, and that's why we Christians call people to believe and trust in Jesus, because in Jesus, he covers all of our sins, and we never have to face the wrath from it for it. And Paul, and whoever the author of Hebrews was, but he holds this out for us, saying you haven't resisted the bloodshed striving against sin. Now, this is something we need to remember. As we face the grueling pain of the race, we're growing in holiness. but it's a terrible warfare that we have promised to enlist in against our own sin. And often we don't want to run the race of life and against sin. We don't want to really run against it. We want to be left alone. We want to follow our own wills. We want to be our own little gods. We want to do our own things. We want to justify our patterns of sin in our lives, tending to our own enjoyments. And sometimes when I look at people, I think, are they even running? Now, this is where I'm going with this today, my friends, and we're going to go the next few days. What makes the Christian life so difficult is that just at the point we start to become self-dependent, and just at the point we begin to trust in ourselves, just at the point that we begin to recline in the easy chair of our sin and justify it and say, oh, I can be like this, God takes that sin that has made us complacent and that has made us compromise and that has made us justify falsehood before Him, and He takes that sin and He exposes it. He causes us to face it head on and to deal with it and to again continue in our lane in the race. The sufferings that we face and the trials and the things that are exposed that really shake up life are a direct result of God's loving and disciplining care in our lives as He deals with us as sons. And that is peculiar only to the Christian. Now, that's something we just choose to forget. We choose to forget this reality. And that's where he moves in verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. And then he quotes Proverbs 3:11-12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Notice he says, you have forgotten. You've forgotten that the very discipline of God is the very thing that shows that you're a son. That's why I'm shocked at the way people react to discipline today. Oh, it's unloving and uncaring. No, you couldn't be more wrong. It is the act of God's love. We need to remember that today. What is God chastening? What is he bringing out in us that needs to be dealt with? Well then, seeing that and hearing his call, may we confess our sins and remember that in Jesus Christ, he cleanses us from all of our sins and his blood covers us that we may go forth in the newness of life. Do you know this Jesus Christ? You must repent and turn from all of your sins and receive by imputation his righteousness and life. If you would like to know more about this Jesus, give us a call, 360-318-0429. Visit us this Sunday for worship, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden United Reformed Church. Visit us on the web, lindenurc.com. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.